Dr. Larry Kaskel. You should listen to him if you know what's good for you. Of course, you should listen to him even if you don't know what's good for you. Here's the healthy skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
I cannot get my 12-year-old son to eat his veggies no matter what. I'm tired of trying. I'm tired of threatening him. My next guest, Dr. Cassandra Deep, who is a postdoctoral fellow at Baylor and has authored a paper called Health Professionals Devote Their Careers to Understanding How to Help People Change Their Health Behaviors. And the golden rule has been that interventions should be based on theory because doing so will make them more effective, but there is no research to justify this. That is a long title. I'm going to wait for the movie, but until the movie comes out, can you tell me, doctor, what does that title mean? Translate that for me.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on your show and allowing
You're
me
welcome.
To discuss the study with you. I really appreciate it. This study is a mouthful. That actually isn't the name of the title of the study itself. I think that's the title of one of the press releases. But basically, it does summarize what we found. And first, before I go and describe the study, I want to define theory or behavioral theory, which is a term that's used in the title that you mentioned. And what I mean by behavioral theory are models or pathways through which certain variables influence behavior. So as an example, behavioral theory will tell us that people learn through observational learning, or by observing the behaviors of others and the consequences of those behaviors. So in relation to fruit and vegetable consumption, a child will learn by watching the consumption patterns of their parents. And if their parents seem to be enjoying fruits and vegetables, the child will internalize this and they're more likely to eat vegetables themselves as well. Other examples.
So is that the theory, or is that what has been proven?
That is a theory. That is an example of a theory.
Got
it. And other examples include perceived benefits of a behavior, self-efficacy, or the confidence to perform a behavior, or intention. So those are examples of theories are constructs within theories.
So I'd like to dumb it down a little for myself.
Okay.
And
okay.
My audience, not to call them dumb. I take the blame. I am dumb. How does a child understand consequences? I thought that comes much later when their frontal lobe comes online.
Right, and that is actually an issue with theory, is a lot of them are rational and meant for adults. And they were designed for adults, and we're using them in children. So that is one of the issues that we have found in our study, is that the theories that we're using may not be appropriate when we're incorporating them into interventions for children.
Got it. All right. So let's go back to describing the study and what you actually found out that you weren't expecting to find.
Right. And so as you mentioned, as health professionals, we target our careers, or we devote our careers to understanding behavior and how to help people change their behaviors. And it's been the golden rule to include behavioral theory, because they should tell us how behaviors work or what influences behaviors, and if we include theory, then the interventions will be more effective. However, there hasn't been any research on that, so we reviewed 25 years of interventions with children to assess whether interventions based on theory were more effective than non-theory interventions at increasing their fruit and vegetable intake, and we found that overall, interventions improved children's fruit and vegetable consumption more so than non-theory groups, but the role of theory in making these interventions successful was unclear, particularly when we took into account the quality of the intervention. For example, did the authors of the paper follow the highest possible standards for interventions, such as blinding participants or randomizing participants to particular groups or using objective measures? When we took into account that, we found that theory use wasn't related to fruit consumption or fruit and vegetable combined consumption. It was only related to vegetable consumption, and the effect was small. So that contradicts what we've learned about behavioral theory and designing interventions based on that.
All right. So, again, I'm going to need you to translate into English and tell me what that means to me and my son. How can I translate that from the research paper and its results into my house and my kitchen table? What does it tell me? That doesn't matter what I do. It does matter what I do. He'll eat his veggies, but he may not eat his fruit. I should wait till he's 22. Tell me what to do. Help.
Right. That is a good question, and I wish I could tell you in a nutshell what you should do to get your son to eat more fruits and vegetables. This paper was more geared towards health professionals and those who are designing interventions. And so the message is more for the health professionals regarding theory. The interventions
do seem promising. So then let's talk about the health professionals.
Okay.
Does the paper basically say that everything you thought you knew is wrong, or everything you thought you knew is kind of wrong?
I would say the latter, because I wouldn't be so bold as to say theory is wrong and we shouldn't use theory. I think the issue is the way we're using theory now is incorrect. We may not be using the correct theory. As you mentioned, children and adults are different. Even humans aren't rational beings. Children especially aren't rational beings. So we need to make sure that the theories we use are the right ones for the population we're interested in. And it's a complicated issue, and I think we just need to take some steps back as health professionals and figure out what it is that makes interventions work, and how can we use theory, and are we sure that theory works in the long run?
So, Cassandra, I want you to be bold here, and let's say that you get to design the next study. How would you design it, and what would you want to prove? What theory would you want to either prove or disprove as your next follow-up study?
Choosing a particular theory, the ones that were most often used were social cognitive theory, and that is a theory I like. It's an idea that you have social factors and environmental factors and personal factors that influence the ultimate behavior of the child. And if I were to design an intervention with that theory, I would make sure that the classes I design or whatever components of that theory are related specifically and directly to the construct of the theory. So I would take my time, not rush it, make sure it's tailored, and also do some research in the literature to see how this theory was best used and how it was best included in an intervention. So I would need to do research and then ask around, get help from other people, and make sure that the population I'm interested in, it applies to them.
All right, so I'm gonna ask you to extrapolate, go way beyond your study, and ask the same question. Do I need to bother with getting my son to eat his veggies, considering the Inuit Eskimos spend most of their lives just eating reindeer and blubber, and they seem to be quite healthy? Do I need to worry so much about his vegetable intake, or will time and the development of his frontal lobe take over, and I shouldn't worry so much? I know I'm asking you as an individual, not as a researcher.
Right, and I think you should. And the key is start early. So for parents who have young children, they should start exposing their child to vegetables early. And even though some populations are eating only meat or whatever it may be, there are studies showing that vegetable consumption will lower your risk of heart disease, cancers, maybe obesity. And so if you start early with the vegetable consumption and exposing the child to vegetables, that is important for parents to do.
And where can we learn more about your study?
There's information about my study in the Journal of Nutrition, Education, and Behavior, but more broadly about the research that I and other people at my center do is at www.kidsnutrition.org.
Got it. Cassandra Deep, thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for the work you're doing. And I look forward to listening to the next study you do. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD. Remember, never let anyone do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends. And stay well.